Welcome to East Beats West, episode 126. I'm Tom Merritt.
Oh, that was a resounding cry for...
It's been a long weekend, okay?
Oh, were you one of the unseemly hordes that stood outside waiting for the new iPhone?
For a small period of time, I was. I didn't even get in line, though. It was just way too crazy for me.
But was that what sapped your Kryptonian strength?
No, what sapped me was getting up at 3 in the morning on Friday.
To cover the...
Yeah, and then iPhone. We did 2 hours of live call-in.
What were people calling in about?
About the freaking iPhone. Can you believe it? I thought this... Okay, honestly, I thought we could probably get a half hour. They wanted to go an hour. I was like, okay, we're gonna get non-iPhone questions. We're going to get, like, you know, my Linksys router's rebooting.
But were you in the studio at the time?
Nothing. Every question was about the iPhone for 2 hours.
Oh, jeez. Makes you want to not use your iPhone anymore, does it?
I'm quite enjoying my new iPhone that I didn't even have to pay for.
So basically it's work.
You know why? Not because I stole it. But because my old iPhone had the new 2.0 firmware and it's essentially the exact same as the new iPhone.
Nice. Didn't you jailbreak your phone?
Yeah. I unjailbreaked it and put firmware 2.0 on it.
I don't know. I've been looking at it, but there's still nothing compelling enough on it to push me over.
What would it need?
I think I would actually prefer if it had a removable battery, so if you wanted to do extended periods for me, that's my phone, my little BlackBerry Pearl. If I just use it in a normal phone capacity and just leave it on, it'll last a week.
I think I might puke if we talk about the iPhone much more.
All right. Since I have no desire to have your...
I'm starting to get indigestion.
Have your bile on my pants.
I can't even say it without throwing up a little in my mouth. iPhone. And I own one.
I know, it's pretty bad.
It's like eating too many sweets.
So did you catch the... Oh, well, you haven't caught the end of Doctor Who yet.
I have not. All right. And someone said they're always afraid to listen to East Meets West now because they're afraid of Battlestar Galactica spoilers.
Well, it's on hiatus. It's not like we can go
you
over
got time
to
catch up now.
It's not like we can go over to the set in Vancouver and talk to all those, you know, cast members, crew members, writers.
Right.
No, that would be kind of cool. We should do one from up there.
I put a post on Twitter I was just saying I was trying to think about what to talk about. Do you want to take some of these suggestions?
Sure.
You could shoot them down, Roger. Don't feel like you were bound by these.
Don't worry.
First one was iPhone. We already covered that one.
Howitzer to it. Thunk.
Excalibur says, how about the culture of Hong Kong, the city that's known as East Meets West? It's losing its identity because of China.
I don't know.
Is it losing its West identity because of China? Is it becoming
you would have to define what exactly. I mean, what traits it is losing? Is it losing, like, in a political sense? It's
losing the white people in charge.
I already lost the white people in charge. What are you talking about? That happened like 5 years ago.
The Queen. Yeah.
That happened in '98, didn't
it? Right. Exactly.
That's 10 years later.
Well, that effect is still percolating through.
Are they changing all the street names and stuff? Mm. That's actually one sign of a cultural takeover, is when the street signs start changing.
That was interesting when the Soviet Union fell and they started changing city names back.
Yeah, you mean like Leningrad back to St. Petersburg. Back to St. Petersburg.
Yeah. Which, by the way, was a made-up city in the first place because Peter the Great decided that's where he wanted his capital.
Most cities were kind of made up. It's not
but you know what I mean. Like it wasn't a natural, like the tribe came and sat by the river and was like, this is a good place
you mean
for fish. It was a, I want to build a capital. Build it over there.
That's what they did with Washington.
Yeah.
They did that with Canberra in Australia, and they did that with
Brasilia. Yeah.
Which is actually kind of cool. I didn't realize, what was that movie? I think it was...
Brazil?
Eon Flux.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that architecture they shot down in Brasilia because it had a lot of that postmodern, which actually makes me want to go down there and look at it now because it's like, that's kind of cool.
Ross C. Brown would like us to discuss the concept of security theater and the effect it has on actual security.
Security theater? Is that like where you go to a mime show and they pretend they're in a box?
I love security theater, but I think it's way too high priced for me.
All right.
Journalists turned into police officers. Is an article he links to on theguardian.co.uk. Sheev Malik to turn over his notes on Hassan Butt is a grave infringement of media freedom. That's an old
Yeah, it's not
argument,
it's,
which is whether journalists should be able to protect their sources.
The whole Valerie Plame? What was her name last
night? Ross is not going to like that you made fun of Security Theater, by the way.
Oh. Okay.
I'm just warning you.
That's fine.
Expect a Trojan.
What?
What
do condoms have to do?
His shadow says John Titor.
John Titor?
Yeah.
Who's John Titor?
I guess we can't really talk about him if you don't know who he is.
Sorry.
I don't really know. Maybe I know who he is. Maybe I just don't recognize the name. Hold on. Let's do it.
Maybe we
know who he is.
Just we don't know him.
John Titor, the time traveler guy.
The
guy who claimed to be from the future and was traveling back. And it's coming up when he said he made his trip or something.
Hmm.
Oh, there's a whole John Titor Times at johntitor.com.
Interesting. Boy, I guess he shouldn't play the stock
during
market.
2000 and 2001, claiming to be a time traveler from the year 2036.
2036?
Yeah.
Wow.
But there's some important John Titor-related date that's coming up soon.
Tidal wave, earthquake, stock market crash, the end of all crops as we know it.
He said, as a result of the many conflicts, there was no official Olympics after 2004. However, there was a Winter Olympics in 2006.
Uh-huh.
So...
Whether or not Beijing comes off without a hitch would prove him incorrect?
Well, yeah. I mean, no Olympics means no Olympics. Not no Olympics, well, except for the Winter Olympics. I don't really count those.
Well, maybe he can keep on traveling back in time until he meets an era that agrees with his philosophies.
A.J. Smith says, Article 2, Section 1, and its theoretical implications for John McCain.
Article 2, Section 1.
I had to pull out my pocket U.S. Constitution.
I used to have one of those in the high school.
But Article 2, Section 1 is about the succession. It's actually about a lot of things. It's about the Electoral College and everything. But
secession. Succession.
Yeah, so I assume, if I'm assuming correctly, A.J. Smith, you're wondering, like, what happens if McCain kicks it if he gets elected?
Wouldn't his vice president?
Yeah, so I guess
who is his vice president?
Is it extra important to take into consideration who John McCain picks as vice president over who Obama picks as vice president?
I know, a lot of people were kind of critical of Bush Sr. picking Dan Quayle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then everyone had a field day after he did the whole potato thing. I don't know. It's
I prefer the Quayleian spelling of potato. I've started to
I mean,
adopt
that's, it. Technically, it wasn't an incorrect spelling.
It's not? It's not an incorrect spelling at all?
I mean, supposedly, the etymology of it, there is potato with an E, but...
So he was just more advanced than us.
Is what you're saying.
Maybe. Maybe he was just an idiot more savant.
He was actually more literate. Mr. Brains wants us to discuss goat porn. I don't really want to discuss goat porn, do you?
Well, it depends. Do you mean goat-on-goat action, or are you talking about bestiality? If it's the latter, I could probably talk a little bit with it. But
MD Santa said pancakes in a can, which I ate this morning.
Pancakes in a can? Wait a minute.
Have you seen that?
No.
The spray can with the pancake batter in it? It's awesome.
Is it an aerosol?
Now, it is extraordinarily lazy. No, it's just compressed. Compressed air.
So what are the ingredients in
this? It's a batter. It's a normal
pancake
batter.
But I mean, like, I'm sure they had to mix it in with some shortening, like
you have to keep
something.
It refrigerated, and then and it's organic, for whatever that's worth. But what I like about it is the convenience, which is you just spray the batter into the middle of the pan. No mixing of the stuff.
Wait, how long does batter normally stay good? I think you could keep it up for a week, right?
Yeah, if you just have it in an open can, because this is like all sealed up in the can with the compressed
air. Why don't
they
just have the batter in a tub, and then it comes with a little plastic ladle?
It won't keep as long.
Why not?
Because it doesn't. It's not as vacuum tight.
Well, have a pump or something.
Then why not just have a can of compressed air? I mean, if you're going to go to the point of vacuum sealing it and putting it in a pump, I mean, you're essentially doing the same thing. It's easier to do compressed air than do a pump.
I don't buy it. Uh-huh. I don't think
that's,
it.
That's
I don't
called
think,
Roger knows he's wrong, but can't.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it could be good.
I don't think anything's good.
I don't think anything out of that aerosol can cooking.
It's not an aerosol can.
So how do you get it out of the? Is it a pop top?
It's like it's like whipped cream is now when you have it in the can. It's not aerosol anymore. It's just compressed air.
It's just, atomized.
It's like that cheese. Although the cheese is disgusting. This is not disgusting.
Uh huh.
It's not atomized. It just comes out like batter.
Whatever.
You fear change.
No, I just fear crap that comes out of a form it shouldn't.
Tim ACX says, more Doctor Who always works. I never watched the show till you guys talked about it. Glad you did.
Yeah, but
see,
we can't
the only
talk-
Doctor Who I could talk about is the one where he's on the bus.
That's you know, everyone keeps
decent episode.
Everyone keeps saying it's a bus, and I thought
they call it a bus. I thought it was a plane until like three quarters of the way through the episode, and someone refers to it as a bus.
Well, I actually like the episode.
Yeah, I like the episode too.
But that said, I only like the last half of it.
I like the first half. Okay, that's a decent.
I like the fact that he was wrong.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you got to save its important life form, but oh no, it's gonna kill me, and someone's it. And
no,
then,
he wasn't necessarily wrong, although I see what you're saying.
He was...
In other words,
his
he was wrong about the ability to maybe talk it into doing something.
No, I think he was wrong in that, you know, we were just misunderstanding it.
Is that what he was saying, or was he saying... See, because I took it as... And if you haven't seen the episode, this is probably not making a whole lot of sense to you, but I took it as when he was protecting the life form, he was saying, whatever its intentions, good or bad, who are we... to decide that it should live or die. We don't know.
I don't know
about it yet.
I mean,
he was right about that. They didn't know.
But he was also on the supposition that they were wrong about it being a threat. And in the end, they were right.
I don't know if he was. But
I think
okay.
he was.
Papa Mike says, wasn't there something in the news about a new radio this week? Or was it a phone? There's rumors about Sony releasing some new mobile computer device on Monday.
I'm actually not that interested in most of what Sony has been doing of late, just because it seems so uncompelling.
J.R. Holmes says, not a good one for East meets West. Well, do you want to hear the rest of it?
Okay.
He says, but there is a tempest going on about CNET's declaration of Steve Wozniak line jumping for the iPhone.
I heard that about Scoble, too.
Yeah, well, there's two different tempests going on there, actually.
Two tempests?
I saw Scoble was at the front of the line at the Apple Store in San Francisco, and I heard that he had not been there all night, that he had just walked up, made friends with the guy at the front of the line, and then cut in front of everyone else. And then I saw on Wired, they've got video of him basically saying that he did that, and he's like, who said bloggers have to have ethics? Ha, ha, ha. Now, some people are saying that that was all a joke and Scoble was just trying to get attention, which perhaps it was. Maybe he was always pals with the guy at the front of the line from the beginning. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Wozniak is he went on Twit the night before the launch,
yep.
said, I've talked to the Apple Store in Valley Fair. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said, I've got it set up with the Apple Store in Valley Fair. I'm going to be first in line there. I can't wait. He went to the Valley Fair, and he hung out. He didn't stand at the front of the line. They let him go and, like, sit over in this separate area with a table and some chairs. You know, yeah, if it had been some schmo and they were letting, I'd be like, why? He's the guy who co-founded the company. Now,
Greg
Sandoval on CNET kind of implied was like, if he's going to come out there and pretend to be one of the people, then he shouldn't get any special treatment. If he's going to be like, I'm the co-founder of Apple, I deserve special treatment, then he should just get one ahead of time and not pretend. That pissed Leo off. And Leo went on a rant today. He went on a tirade about it.
A tirade?
Yeah. I have not heard that yet, but I heard about it and essentially just lost his lid about it. And I can see why. Because, it's like, well, you know, Woz just wanted to go and hang out and have the party. What's wrong with that?
I mean, if he was there at the beginning and he gave someone, it's like, hey, can you stand in line for me?
Well, what he did was he cleared it with the Apple Store and he was like, I'm going to be first in line. And he cleared it with the next person in line.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be in first in line and I got some people with me and we're going to be. And that person apparently was fine. But there was another person in line who either was unclear or got mad about it later. Blogged about it.
My thing is, if he initially got there and he had someone stand in his place so he could go use the can or go sit down because, you know, his legs are tired or something, I'm cool with that. Like, people do that all the time, especially for movie openings. You know, no one's going to, people like, you know, there'll be like three guys and they'll swap turns.
Yeah.
You know, I'm totally cool with that.
Essentially that's what he did, except instead of sitting at the front of the line, they let him sit kind of near the line and said, well, that's his place right there.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If you already cleared it and you already had a system, it's not like he just kind of waltzed up that nine's excuse me.
Yeah, I'm Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's what Scoble allegedly did.
Which
if he did that, I think that's kind of a baloney move. Again, the thing is, it's just a phone.
My thing is, why would you stand in line to spend money? If I'm going to spend money, I'm going to do it when I'm damn well ready and comfortable to do it.
Well, that's what we did last year with the iPhone. We didn't stand in line. We waited a couple weeks, walked right in, and got one without standing in line. That seems to be what we're doing this year.
I mean,
we haven't got a new one yet.
Is 2 weeks such a, you know...
Some people... You know what I do understand is some people like the theater of it. They like to feel like they're a part of something special and,
I guess it's
and
a
be
theater.
There on the first day and be a part of the event. And that's fine. I'm totally cool with that. I understand that. It's not something that I'm into. And so,
yeah, you know. But you know, you also have to wonder about those people, same people, schmucks who stood in line waiting for like the release of the Phantom Menace. And
yeah, right. I mean, I went and stood in line the day, the evening of first Star Wars. We stood in line for a couple hours beforehand. The evening of the first release. I didn't go stand in line. I didn't go camp out. I didn't go stand in line for the midnight release. Because I'm just not... I'm into it, but I'm not... That's where
See,
the line is.
I'm wondering me. If I should do the midnight camp out for The Dark Knight. Because that's next week.
Yeah. Do you think you need to? I mean, that's the other thing.
I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of funny stuff that's going to happen in line, I'm sure.
Like?
There's people going to be dressed up.
Yeah.
Because it always happens. Like they do when they redid the Star Wars. It was kind of funny. Actually, during the Phantom Menace, I remember waiting in line. This was like this wasn't the first, the huge long line. You know, the midnight showing. This was the next day, and they still had people like doing the whole mock combat out in the front, and they did it down in the
with the Pugil sticks.
No, they did it with the little plastic lightsabers that you buy at Toys R Us.
Yeah, sure, that's cool.
So I don't know. There might be cool stuff.
Shall we take some comments?
Yes.
Blaze says, good episode. I haven't commented in a while, but I'm still listening, and I love the show. Thank you for keeping it up. You are very intelligent people, and it's nice to hear you talking about intelligent things. Oh, he meant to post that on Twitter, I guess, or something. Or maybe you look nice today.
Uh-oh.
He accidentally posted it on ours, but because he said it was intelligent.
Are you trying to be funny?
See?
Uh-huh.
Proves my point right there.
Next comment.
DL says, thanks for reading my question. Now I have a comment about your reply to my question. When I ask a question such as this, I've been taught as well as acknowledged on my own that such things as politics do live in the vague and very opinion-oriented space that you refer to. However, I was asking with the hope that you'd acknowledge this and then follow up with your personal opinions, which you seem to do quite naturally in your regular commentary. Basically, I wouldn't be asking for help with dealing with the strange construct that makes up the political system unless I believed that you'd at least have some thought on how to deal with it, life experience, micro and macro.
Didn't he write a follow-up?
Yeah, he did. Said, re-listen to the podcast, heard Tom's segue reply to my answer. I guess I was just hoping for more of a direct answer. Sorry for the harshness. I didn't think his first column was harsh at all. It was just the frustration that I would feel in not getting a better answer than what we gave. And I think the fact of the matter is we just don't have much of a better answer.
Well, the thing is, it's one of those questions that you have to kind of have a specific question for before you can
sure,
get
you
it.
Might get a more specific answer
I
if,
mean,
you, if you narrow it.
It's like if you ask someone, you know, what's the meaning of life?
Yeah.
I mean,
42.
I mean, exactly. I mean, it can be anything. And it's one of those things where you have to decide beforehand and kind of figure out what do you want
right,
to know.
Because otherwise we could do 2 hours on the question and not even touch on all of the permutations and issues involved. I mean, really, the only way to deal with it in a short amount of time is to deal with it with another question, which is, his, you know, his original question was, what's up with politics? You know, it seems like I got no good options. How does this happen? And we basically said, well, that's get used to it. That's the way it's been for a long time. And so that begs the question or
ask the question.
Yeah, it asks the question. What
or brings up the question
is the solution to that? Can we actually fix it so that we're not always seemingly picking between the lesser of two evils? Now, here's the thing. I think that lesser of two evils things is always exaggerated. I always have. I always think that, you know what, it's not the lesser of two evils because, first of all, neither candidate is as evil as you think. And
you
if
mean
you think
not
one of them is evil, you've already made your choice. You're going to vote for the other guy.
You mean they were anointed by Satan himself?
Yeah. So I hate that way of like, oh, it's the lesser of two evils. They both suck. Well, no, they don't both suck. I don't believe that. I think they both have qualities that probably are you know, lend themselves. We get a little too caught up in the thing that, like, looking at the negatives. You also don't really know what they're going to do until they get there. They can talk till they're blue in the face, and that's one of the frustrations, right? The problem is the system that any of these people go into and the system that shuttles them into this position in the first place. There are barriers, Noam Chomsky writes about, that are sort of unconscious barriers that keep certain kinds of people with certain kinds of ways of thinking out of politics. They keep them out of leadership positions. And so that's why you tend to get a lot of people who think, in the grand scheme of things, similarly.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about just a minute ago when you were talking about it is what if you did, you know, where Harry Heinlein wrote in Starship Troopers where essentially to become a citizen, to become a voting citizen, you actually had to fulfill your national obligation either in the military or some sort of civic service before you could. Now, everyone.
And then you have the opposite in Australia where you're required to vote, correct? Is that Australia? There's one country. Where
no, Australia.
Like, is that
but right? but no, you would, like, you and I wouldn't be citizens of the United States and with all the rights and responsibilities of until we either, you know, did a stint in the army or we did a stint in some sort of, like, you know, the
AmeriCorps or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Or what's the one that Kennedy created?
Peace Corps.
Where you did that work. So that way you're kind of, you understand. You know what it, you understand, or you not so much you understand. Maybe you might. You understand what it kind of takes.
You have a chance to indoctrinate you, in other words.
Yeah, but you know, it, depending on what you go into, it.
But you become closer to the work.
You would
take
well the concept or the Heinlein wanted to get to is like people would not automatically take everything for granted.
Right.
You know, you can have you've seen political candidates from both sides of the spectrums that have formally served in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy served in World War II. Wesley Clark was commander during the bombing in Serbia.
I believe Lyndon Johnson served. No.
Yeah, I think even Reagan, Bush Senior.
Yeah, Reagan served.
I think Bill Clinton was the first one that didn't.
Well, in a long time, anyway. Yeah.
Well, I think he because.
John Adams didn't actually serve in the military, although
true.
I think he had a commission of some sort.
But
I'm we're throwing around all these facts, these historical facts.
Oh yeah,
wildly,
at the end.
let me try to find this.
This one.
Jason says, as a PhD student in history, I'm glad to hear you guys say that people need to know history to understand the world today. That being said, sometimes it's painful to listen to the show. I do German history, but resisted the urge to write after the episodes in which you guys talked about Nazis. This time, I just couldn't hold back. We would have loved you to write in. You're a German history PhD student.
I know.
Why didn't you write in? That's the perfect time to write in, because we don't claim to know everything. We're just batting ideas around. So if you know something, that helps
please.
The show. Anyway, Roger, the only reason why the people, the permanent members of the UN Security Council are, is because they had the nuclear, oh, he's quoting you, right? They had the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
No. The United States had the bomb at the end of World War II. Closest competitors, Germany, because Germany had the V-2 rockets. I think that's true. The Soviets did not get the bomb until 1949, and then largely thanks to German scientists and espionage. The UK, 1952, France, 1960, People's Republic of China, 1964, not the 1950s. PRC took over the UN on the Security Council in 1971. Ah, okay, so that's what I was thinking of when I was wondering when they got on the Security Council. In 1945, when the UN was founded, only one of the permanent members had the bomb. The same is true of 1946, when the Security Council held its first session. There were a number of other things that made me cringe, but that was the worst of them. And you're not off the hook, Tom, since you didn't even question that one. By the way, Israel joined the UN 1 year after its independence. Well, good. Thank you for setting that straight. That's good information. And Jason, maybe you can jog my memory then, because it's not Israel, obviously, but I thought there was a important country in the world, you know, like
aren't all countries important?
Well,
Tom?
Yeah. That was like kind of prominently not a member of the United Nations.
That was Switzerland.
Maybe I'm just thinking of Switzerland.
They were observers, and only recently did they change that observer status into a membership.
All right. Maybe it was just Switzerland.
I think it was Switzerland. I could be wrong, you know. And I do write in the end.
Roger actually commented.
This is the second time.
This kind of blew me away. Okay, and I had, by the way WordPress works is if you've commented before, it automatically approves your comment. I had to approve Roger's comment. Just saying.
All right.
Anyway. You want to read it?
I can't read it from here. You better read it.
Jason, you are correct, although the popular argument why the five are still the current five permanent members is that until recently, they were considered the nuclear powers under the NNPT. Not a great reason to be sure, and contrived one at that, but the reason most often used. My comments were made in that vein, and I mistakenly used it to describe the formation. There you go.
Yep.
But no, I love the Jason comment. I mean, I encourage you to comment more. We definitely do not think, although sometimes we act like it, that we know all this stuff.
Although I'm still curious to see what all the other things that inflamed his roids.
That's the thing, right?
I want to know, please.
We're going to throw out all kinds of facts that Jason has no idea about because they're not about history. But when we get into history, we're going to get things wrong. Or we're going to get things kind of slightly wrong. You know when you know a topic really well and somebody talks about it, and they're not wrong, but you're like, no, but you're kind of misunderstanding it.
Yes.
So, of course, I understand that that's going to happen, but that's why we like the comments.
I mean, was he upset because I said that in the U.S., in the post-World War II scheme of things, in the American eyes, the UN was a great tool in order to kind of bind.
I think he was worried that the U.S. Americans don't have enough maps.
U.S. Americans?
Yeah.
As opposed to the overseas Americans?
As opposed to the Iraq.
Iraq Americans.
SoCal Jess says, I would like to comment on the countless NGOs and their misguided contributions to our global economy and society. However, I'm on a full-blown Comic-Con mode, and I can't wait for it, especially for TARDIS, Captain Jack, MST3K Reunion, and Spaced Panel. I think Spaced is a Brit show that would be enjoyable for East Meets West fans. Give it a whirl on YouTube. Can't wait for the Doctor Who season finale.
Hey, SoCal, if you're down, San Diego, shoot Tom or post like when you're there, because I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I come back Sunday.
All right.
So
Roger's
that'd be great.
You're going to have a booth?
No, I'm going to be
Roger Con.
I'm gonna. You know, that actually has an entirely different connotation. But I'll be walking the floor. So if I run into you,
when you're walking the floor, is that called a rogering around?
Oh, Tom.
What?
Jeez.
I don't understand.
your humor's so juvenile.
I'm sorry. I
mean,
apologize.
You know, what do you call a 400 pound belly dancer?
Marge.
No, a naval destroyer.
Okay, so anyway, you're going to be walking around on the floor.
So yeah, if you run into me, say hi.
Okay. Well, that's it for this East Meets West, then.
All right.
Get on your butt and get down to Comic-Con.
Woohoo!